more of Lake Effect Now, I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. There is no dearth of wonderful actors working in Milwaukee. And perhaps even more importantly, there's no dearth of actors in Milwaukee willing to take creative risks. One of them, Deb Staples, is celebrating 20 years with the Milwaukee Rep this year. And tonight she opens a one-woman show called The Amish Project that is nothing if not risky.
The play, in which Staples will play seven characters ranging from young girls to middle-aged men, is based on the true story of the 2006 Nickel Mines shooting, when a lone gunman burst into an Old Order Amish one-room schoolhouse in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, and killed five girls. But the play is not a factual retelling of that incident, but rather an exploration of what it means to forgive. Deb Staples and director Lita Hoffman join me in the studio now. Thanks so much for coming in.
So pleased to be here. Thanks, Bonnie.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is what an amazing play. This is The Amish Project. And Deb, you are the entire cast. And
yes.
There's quite a few people that you are playing.
Yes. We have seven characters in the play. However, my scene partner most of the time is the audience. So that's the other cast member.
This seems to be a year of one-person shows, really powerful one-person shows done around town. And as an actor, it must be like just walking up to a buffet and saying, I can eat all of this.
Yes, it is. It's you get to play roles that you would never get to play, and you get to practice your craft and your art in a way that you don't normally get to. And it's a great honor, and it's a great joy, and it's also absolutely terrifying.
Well, what kinds of things do you do in this kind of show as an actor? We're talking craft now, that you wouldn't do in a more normal play where there's many actors, or at least more than one.
Well, beyond playing people that you normally wouldn't be cast as, you get to figure out the craft of making sure the audience goes with you on a journey, even though you're hopping around from one character to another. So you become sort of more in charge of caretaking for the audience than you otherwise would have. Usually the director takes care of that and instills each piece in each actor so that everybody's kind of working together as a symphony orchestra. But Lita and I are together on this in rehearsals, and then eventually it's going to be handed over just to me. So it's building those relationships with the audience, with every single one of the characters, making sure that I can bring everybody through the journey, making sure that when I make a transition, even if it's as simple as turning my head, that everybody knows where I'm going and they feel safe in going there with me.
You talk about a journey. There's an overall journey to the play, but each character has their own journey too, which you have to keep organized in your head and, as you say, for the audience.
Yes.
So there's multiple journeys happening.
Absolutely. It's been really fun. Lita and I have been going at the play two different ways. One is sort of straight through the text to see how everything is woven together and the relationships between where each particular character is in their journey and how it relates to the journey of the other character at that particular point in time. And the other way is to just take one character and perform all of that character's speeches all the way through, because they do all have a journey. They have a through line. Their point of view sort of shifts, evolves. They learn things. So we do both. And then once we do each individual character for a while, then we weave them back together again. And we've sort of gone back and forth like that.
And has the journey changed much, Lita, as you've been doing it that way, breaking it down in those two different ways?
Yeah, the rehearsal process, things have just evolved. And some characters, the idea of who they are that we started rehearsal with has stuck. And some characters, we've played with five different versions of this person, how they talk, how they move, what their ideas are that aren't in the text, that take the table work to go through and think about what that journey is. And then it's great to go put the whole thing together and see how those new choices affect the whole picture.
Well, and as you were saying, Deb, you're playing characters you wouldn't get to play, not only different sexes, because you're playing men and women, but you're playing an age range, too, as well as different ethnicities.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's kind of all over the place, from very young to, I guess, middle-aged.
Yes. Yeah. And it's been a great joy. Every project that you come to offers a certain amount of interesting research. Well, this one is hitting the jackpot. all of a sudden I thought, wow, okay, so I get to play some Amish girls. So that's fascinating. And so much of this story is about what the Amish believe and how they operate within their culture. So researching all of that was absolutely fascinating. But then how do I, as a middle-aged white woman, research becoming a 16-year-old Latina girl? So that's been fascinating, too, really thinking about, well, how do you find out what that experience is? And it's been a terrific journey.
You need to know who these people are and that they're not cliches.
That's right.
And you have to find their common humanity. I'm so happy to be working on a play that really needs to be a play. This story is very specifically told in theatrical conventions. The fact that we have all of these characters housed in one person means their common humanity shines through. You don't have to talk really intellectually about how all of these characters in some way are similar or are part of the same world, because they just are, because they're all housed in one actor. And so we get these very human people, and we see these connections between them because there's one performer as all of them. You know, so our job is to think a lot about their differences, but their similarities shine through just by the nature of the way the play is written.
So as you sit in rehearsal and you work on this, take me through, you know, maybe an hour of rehearsal. What is it like to do that? I mean, you guys are kind of joined at the hip on this.
Indeed.
You know, you probably know each other better now than you maybe you ever wanted to.
It's been great. Somebody once said when I did a one-woman show before, somebody said, what is it like working with a director on a one-woman show? Is it like the relationship between the jockey and the racehorse? And I said, absolutely. That's a really, really good way of putting it. Because we just have to be so in sync, and we both have to be working at the top of our form. We need each other, or we without each other, we are nowhere. And Lita has to sort of figure out how to make me get the most out of this that I can. And she has to not only pick up on my instincts and what's useful and what's not useful, also redirect the ones that she wants to redirect, have an eye to the overall shape and scope of it.
And, you know, a director starts a rehearsal process already having designed the play with a group of designers. We've all worked together to shape this world. But I think of it as we're making a playground, and now we have to play on that playground. So all of the design choices, some of which are flexible and some of which are already built, allow us to shape a play within a specific world we've already built, but especially in a one-person show, but I believe in all plays, you really want to shape the play with the instincts of the actors in mind. So I don't go into rehearsal with a preconceived idea of, oh, this is going to look like this by the time we get to opening night. I listen to what Deb's bringing to the room and what her instincts are and go with those. And so it's really a matter of going, oh, yes, that version. And we're just playing back and forth and back and forth all the time to get a version of this play that both of us and all the other collaborators on this production feel good about.
Well, the other thing about this particular play is that while it is fiction, it is based on a very real thing. So I would think that adds another layer to what you both have to work with and think about as you're making the journey yourself in this. Because this is it's based on a real incident, a tragic incident.
Indeed. And you want to be really respectful of that. And the playwright is very respectful of that. And I think that's also why she moved it into the world of fiction, so that she's not sort of exploiting any of these real people. She has given herself creative license to explore this in the way that she wants without, you know, attaching them to a real life person, which I think is very respectful. Even though this is a fictionalized event, it's similar enough that what she's really getting at is core truths of what actually happened, the ideas of the Amish culture, bringing forgiveness to the table immediately, their belief that there is no why. So we don't have to go crazy saying, why, who can I blame, anything else. They just give it up. So that's pretty spectacular. And how does that play out on the rest of the members of a community? And I think that's what was stunning to the playwright, I'm guessing. The national reaction to the story was amazement. And then once you got past the amazement, lots of different feelings. Is it right to forgive like that? Is it not right to forgive? What happens as you walk that forward, if you do forgive, if you don't forgive, whatever those issues are?
How do you even recognize forgiveness, you know, if you're not of that culture particularly?
Right.
Looking at from the outside, it's like, well, what do you mean?
Exactly. How do you define forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
And that has been, I think, something that the rest of us are coming to understand, that it's just a – in its simplest terms, as I understand it, for the Amish, it's not needing to take any sort of vengeance, revenge, do anything about it. They simply put it in God's hands. There is no why, so they are not responsible for doing anything about it.
And they went and visited the gunman's widow.
Absolutely.
Right away.
Right away.
And went and sat in her house. And just thinking about what could that have felt like for the gunman's widow. There's a real person out there in the world right now who knows what that felt like for her. Jessica Dickey, in writing this play, has written a very different person in that position. And so we know what that character feels like in that moment. That's our job to work on that. But we're also respecting the fact that somebody actually went through that, and all of the different questions that that raises about what it means to have what some of us would think of the least likely people come to visit you at a moment like that. And the fact that this play has so many different characters in it means that we get lots of different perspectives on that idea of forgiveness. Some people go on a broader journey as they figure out what that means. Some people start in one place, and it moves just a little tiny bit in a direction. There's just the diversity of humanity in this one community as all of these different people figure out what forgiveness means to them, whether they think they should forgive. And at the end of the play, no one has to come to one conclusion.
Because of their cultural beliefs of forgiveness and everything surrounding that, that doesn't mean that it's easy for the Amish. It doesn't mean that it takes their pain away or that it hurts any less to have a child that's been either traumatized, terribly, terribly injured, killed. It's no easier for them. They just come at it with the knowledge that forgiveness is something that is required, non-negotiable, and it's something that they struggle with. I was reading an article 5 years after Nickel Mines, and this was some years back that the article was written. And a lot of the people interviewed said, well, it's forgiveness is something you have to do every day. It's something that keeps coming back. And of course, we all know that in our minds, but every once in a while, it's tempting to think about this utopian culture where they are, where their beliefs are so strong that they are immune to the harms and hurts of the world. And it's just not so. They're going to feel worldly things just like we are. They're going to put it in a different place than some of us.
Right. And as you say, it doesn't mitigate the grief.
No, not at all.
They coexist,
mm-hmm.
you know, in life, just as they do for anybody else.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I cannot wait to see you in this, Deb. And I want to thank both of you for coming in. I know it is – you're in tech rehearsal right now, aren't you?
We are. Yeah. Yes.
So
yep.
Break a leg.
Thank you.
And thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Deb Staples stars in the one-woman play The Amish Project, opening tonight at the Milwaukee Reps Stimke Theater. Lita Hoffman directed the show, and there's more information at WUWM.com. That's all for the Wednesday edition of the program. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for being with us today.
And I'm Bonnie North. I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect. It's on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, your NPR station in Milwaukee.
We're just about an hour away from all the latest news from NPR and WBUR in Boston on Here and Now. But right now, it's 11 o'clock. Stay tuned because Fresh Air is next.